It's the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson.
Now, while this is all going on, I went through President Trump's speech and Chuck and Nancy's rebuttal.
The most important story.
The American people finally said enough, and that is why they elected Donald Trump.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
It's almost unbelievable that Trump has extricated the U.S. from the Iran nuclear deal.
And opinions and ideas that prepare you to tackle the day ahead.
Because ideas matter.
It's the AmeriChicks, dissecting issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. You can sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. Very excited about our event on Monday, March 25th. I'm partnering with Dr. Tom Kranwitter, Bethany and his team, plus Jen Hewlin, owner of Water's Edge Winery in Centennial, to bring you Vino in Veritas, Wine and Truth. Dr. Kranwitter is creating a fascinating lecture series on the Federalist Papers, and we need to know why we believe what we believe. So the Vino in Veritas in Centennial is meeting the fourth Monday of each month throughout 2019. It is sold out, and so we're very excited to announce Vino and Veritas Castle Rock, which will begin on Sunday, March 31st. So for Vino and Veritas sign up or more information, go to AmeriChicks.com/Vino. That's AmeriChicks.com/Vino. We appreciate our presenting sponsors. January was Harmony Ridge Construction, building homes, and usually making friends in the process. February's presenting sponsor was Susan Kochevar, owner of the historic 88 Drive-In Theater. Spring is almost here, and Susan plans to open sometime later this month. And March's presenting sponsor is Heidi Ganahl and her Free to Be Coalition, which is promoting free speech and diversity of thought. If you would like to be a presenting sponsor, just let me know. Go to AmeriChicks.com/Kim and fill out the form. So, Steve, you know, everybody's working on their taxes. I've been diligently working on mine this weekend.
Yes.
How about you?
Me too. And it's not good.
Well, it's a necessary evil, but got a great little story for you. You know, tax day, April 15th, was looming when an elderly woman showed up at the IRS. She said she required a thick stack of tax forms. Well, why so many? The clerk asked. Well, she said, my son is stationed overseas, and he's asked me to pick up forms for the Marines on the base. The clerk said, you shouldn't have to do this. It's the base commander's job to make sure that his troops have access to all the forms they need. I know, said the woman. I'm the base commander's mother. Is the drummer not here, Steve?
Oh, it played. I'm sorry. I don't have him in your ear.
Okay, there we go. Hey, and a little inspiration for today, General George Patton. It's better to fight for something than to live for nothing. And my gosh, we've got some real battles out there. Today, basically, we're going to be talking about House Bill 19-1177, this red flag bill that is making its way through the state legislature right now. And there's been some real fireworks on some things. Apparently, most of the county commissioners were in Washington, D.C. last week. And so they've been working on their resolutions. And I got an email that said, let me get to this here, that, here we go, that there has been a number of counties that have passed red flag bills, making their counties sanctuary counties to honor the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. As of right now, those counties were Teller County, is it Caninos County, Kit Carson County, Well County, Moffitt, Montezuma, Custer, Kiowa, Fremont, Baca, Rio Blanco, and Otero County. Other counties that are considering this is Prowers, El Paso, Logan, Huerfano, Elbert, Delta, Garfield, Sedgwick, Mesa, Douglas, and Larimer County. And apparently tomorrow, the Douglas County commissioners will be at their meeting. They will be looking at a potential resolution And it doesn't really say that it is a sanctuary county, but what it is saying is that they will honor the U.S. Constitution and basically protect the Second Amendment. And they're going to need people to attend. It's the Douglas County Commissioners meeting tomorrow, Tuesday, 1:30 in the afternoon. The address is 103rd Street in Castle Rock. Be prepared to make a 3-minute public comment. They want to hear everyone. They are expecting the proponents, the supporters of House Bill 19-1177, the red flag bill, to be out in force to try to prevent this resolution down in Douglas County. And so you guys need to get down there and make sure that you're there to make some public comment and support the commissioners on this. Now, Steve, I in reading the bill, House Bill 19-1177, it is really interesting because all it talks about is a firearm. They're saying that if somebody is creating a significant risk to themselves or others by having a firearm in his or her custody, then they can petition. They can basically petition the court to have those firearms taken away. But first of all, Steve, if someone is such a risk that they need to have their firearms taken from them, I mean, there's certainly kitchen knives, there's butcher knives, there's, you know, somebody could be strangled, they could run over them with a car. If they are in, if they are that much of a risk, instead of taking away the firearms, I think that that person should be removed from that situation. So this 1177, while it's trying to make it look like they're trying to protect people, this is really going after the rights of law-abiding citizens to be able to keep and carry their firearms. And what's so interesting about this, my friends, is that the person that is being accused, they don't even have to know that they are being accused. Basically, what would happen is they would be accused. The court would issue this ERPO, which is called an extreme risk protection order. And you'll hear it referred to as an ERPO, E-R-P-O. And if this is issued by the court, and they can actually even issue this ERPO via a phone call, where it says that the judge will have to have assurances that the person they're talking to is really that person. And you have to ask, how did they make sure? I mean, there's so many holes in this particular piece of legislation. And bear in mind that 35 of the members of the House here in Colorado are sponsoring this. I think they're all Democrats. And then on the Senate side, the sponsorship is by Senator Cort and Senator Pedersen. So in essence, the person that's being accused, they don't even know they're being accused. There's no due process. And then there is also a search warrant that is issued where law enforcement can come in and search your house. You've not even committed a crime. And so it goes against the Fourth Amendment, which is search and seizure. And so I'm really, really concerned about this. And apparently the Douglas County Sheriff is in favor of this. He has been out there visible in supporting this red flag bill. And so this is setting up something very interesting to happen in Douglas County, because hopefully tomorrow the commissioners will vote on a resolution to make sure that Douglas County is a place where the U.S. Constitution is honored and the Bill of Rights is honored. And then you have over here the sheriff, who is a big proponent of the red flag bill, which I feel stomps all over everybody's rights. What's your thoughts, Steve?
As if the issue itself wasn't complex enough, you know, in terms of the dichotomy of that's coming over the state. And now you have the county commissioners and the sheriff in the same county kind of squaring off. And I just want to come out and say to anybody, or maybe, or the sponsors and or the legislature, is like, the pushback you're getting is not so much, you know, let's not make this another one of, you know, like Obama, where he came out and said, oh, they just love their gods and or their guns and their religion. This isn't so much that as much as just close up some of the holes that's in this particular bill. Close up the holes and maybe you'll get a different response or reaction. But
well, and
what the effort you put forth right now is literally so full of holes. It's just it's not good good government.
Well, and I think the resolution by the Douglas County Commissioners will address that. If somebody is really an extreme risk, there are already situations in place that could take care of that. So, so this kind of smoke and mirrors that there is this big problem, that problem has already been addressed. And in fact, in Douglas County, there's been a real proactive move. If somebody is in a difficult situation from a mental health standpoint, there's a whole team that can come in and help assess. And so there have been very proactive things done to address this. And so over here to have this House Bill 1977, and you have to look at the bedfellows also, Steve. You know, if you look at it, 35, it's all the Democrats in the House, and you just take a look at all of the different things that they're coming down as far as you know, wanting to control people's lives, wanting to, you know, take away their freedoms. And if you ask people, there was a recent survey, I was talking to a friend of mine, that across the board, most people want to be left alone. They want to have the freedom to live their lives and go after their hopes and dreams. And what we see happening down at the state legislature, whether or not it's firearms, whether or not it's the vehicle that you want to drive, whether or not it's the curriculum that you want to teach your children regarding, you know, sex education. I mean, you can take a look at it. And so I find it really interesting when we're having some of these law enforcement officials that are coming in that really should have a clear understanding of the Constitution and the Second Amendment and why it's there, and kind of jumping over here with all of these far left radical activists that have taken over the Democrat Party here in Colorado. So there's one other question, though, because I had a conversation with, again, a friend of mine who I think has a love for the Constitution, but he was talking about Reagan's quote that if you are with me 80% of the time, you're my friend and ally, not a 20% traitor. I don't think that Reagan ever was thinking about the Constitution. I don't see how you either have the Bill of Rights or you don't. You either have the right to, as a lawful, law-abiding citizen, to keep and bear your firearms, or you don't. And I think that, I don't think that Reagan ever thought that it was those really important issues that we would be giving 20% away, because since Reagan was in office, we've given 20% away, 20% away, 20% away. And now you look at what we have, Steve.
Absolutely. And you know, I went to a family event on Saturday that took me out to the far southwest part of town where Deputy Zach Parrish's grave is, and we went to kind of pay our respects, and that's what this bill is named, that he is who this bill is named after, correct?
It is actually, let me get it here, they're calling it the Zachary Parrish III Violence Prevention Act. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a real travesty to put his name on this. It was tragic that he was killed, but I feel that to use his name to go after the Second Amendment rights of law-abiding citizens to be able to keep and bear their firearms without due process, and to put in place this search and seizure, I just don't think that is what our law enforcement officers. I mean, I can't say for sure, but I don't think that. These things should be named for something like that, because it creates all kinds of emotion.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with them doing that, but the great irony in it is in Deputy Parrish's situation, his killer was incredibly unstable. And I mean, I think the reason that they went this direction was because of that situation. That gentleman should have never had the weaponry that he had. And he was well known to the county, you know, as being a problem. And unfortunately, yeah, it went all that route all the way to, you know, the culmination of that event. And again, it's tragic and it's a great irony.
Well, that is for sure. You know, Steve, we're going to have to go to break, and we're going to continue to talk about this all week. So just be sure and tune in on that. In the next segment, we will be talking with Tim Jackson and Lauren Fix regarding the freedom of mobility, the freedom to drive. And so you'll want to stay tuned for that. You know, it's March Madness. Selection Sunday is next Sunday. And as a University of Kansas basketball fan, I love March Madness. Hooters is the place to watch all these games. Hooters specials start at $10 for a draft and 10 boneless wings. And Hooters wings can fly. You can have them delivered right to your front doorstep. When I have the girls over on Wednesday nights, I order their new smoked wings. They are delicious and only half the calories. So order your Hooters wings to go or have them delivered right to your front door. More information, visit HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. Let them know that you know the AmeriChicks. This is Kim Munson. We'll be right back with Tim Jackson and Lauren Fix.
All AmeriChick sponsors are an exclusive partnership with the AmeriChicks and are not affiliated or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson and grow your business, contact Kim at AmeriChicks.com. That's AmeriChicks.com.
Work with mortgage professionals who will give you quick and accurate financial advice. Home Mortgage Alliance has the knowledge and expertise to explore the many financial options available to you. The mortgage process can be stressful, and as interest rates rise, it's more important than ever to get pre-qualified now so you're ready to buy. Call Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook with Home Mortgage Alliance to make sure that you're making the right financial choice for you and your family. 303-888-2732. Kim and Mark will remain available to you 24/7 to help you through the process. Choose the only mortgage professionals recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Call Kim and Mark with Home Mortgage Alliance today. 303-888-2732.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For over 30 years, entrepreneur, stylist, and AmeriChick Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best with well-priced, made-to-measure clothes that fit a busy lady's lifestyle. Gals, if you want to up your game and freshen your look, email Kim at AmeriChicks.com for your initial style consult. Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where we dissect the issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I will keep you apprised of all upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you the conservatarian perspective. I am thrilled to have in studio with me today, Tim Jackson. You are the top guy over at the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association. So welcome.
Well, glad to be here, Kim, and on with Lauren and with all her expertise in automotive and the new restrictions that are being placed on drivers and car owners and making it more difficult to buy a car, to own a car, and especially to drive a car and park a car in our big cities. So let's talk about it.
Well, we will, and it's great to have you here. And on the line we have with us the car coach, Lauren Fix. You've probably seen her on TV. She's in a lot of different publications. And, Lauren, it is just really great to have you on the line with us.
Well, thank you.
You know, Tim and Lauren, I really believe that freedom of mobility, where people are able to go where they want to, when they want to, the freedom of the automobile deal or the automobile has been so important for everyday people to thrive and prosper. And there's a bunch of crazy stuff that's going on out there.
And it gets worse and worse. And I've seen some of Lauren's videos that she has out on this. And so we are kindred spirits on this issue. Local and state and federal governments are making it more and more difficult for people to buy the car and vehicle of their choice, and but also to drive it where they need to drive it, to park it where they need to park it, and to use it the way they want or need to as far as their family and their freedom of choice. So those freedoms of choice are being limited. And right here in Colorado, some of the let's say segments of the public and interest groups are starting to weigh in on this. And, you know, in a way they're, you could say they're mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore, because the city of Denver has taken lanes away, as you know, in neighborhoods and on main thoroughfares. And Lauren, one of our main arteries out of Denver is South Broadway. And South Broadway is six lanes. It was six lanes southbound and to the main artery of I-25, and then people would get on. It's a main artery for commute to the downtown and to the South Metro area. And two of those six lanes have been taken away from passenger cars and light-duty trucks and given over to, if you will, bicycles on the left and bus rapid transit on the right. And you could stand with me, or we could go down there at any given time during a rush hour, and 99% of the commuters are exercising their freedom of choice, and they're opting to be in a personal,
right,
privately owned car or light-duty truck. And but yet they're being compressed now into four lanes. I talked to a city council person, a good guy, Jolan Clark, who represents that part of Denver and who was an advocate for taking these lanes away from commuters. And he said, Tim, by the way, some of these policy officials are hypocritical. You know, they want to make it hard for everybody else to drive their car, but they still drive their own. And but at least Jolan Clark, he rides a bicycle from his home to his city council office every day. And so God bless him. He practices what he preaches. But I said, Jolan, have you ever anticipated how much time you're taking away, or let's say adding on for the commutes for these people in their cars? And he says, yeah, Tim, we've done a study on it, and it's only 7 minutes per vehicle. Well, first, roll that back, 7 seconds per vehicle. And I said, Jolan, if you count the tens of thousands of cars going through there daily, you've added literally days or weeks onto the commutes, you know, every day.
Well, and Lauren, Tim mentioned something, and that is compressing these lanes on these main arteries. But yet, I served on city council for my community, and so I kind of had a front row seat to what this policy that was going on. And you see politicians and pundits wring their hands about congestion, and they have these ideas about how to get rid of congestion. And of course, it normally means regular everyday people getting out of their cars. But yet they're doing these policies that are creating congestion. Can you address that?
Sure. What you're talking about is what is officially known in the world of government and automotive as road diet. They have decided that if they limit the roads, then people will use mass transit or bicycles. Well, let's just start here with this part. And this is a factor that is not being considered. If bicycles are using a full lane of road, they need to start paying road tax. Our road taxes that we pay in every single thing you buy, including gasoline, is supposed to go into the roads and bridges for vehicles. That does not include bicycles. If bicycles want a piece of the roadway, then they better start paying taxes on the roadway, and that's based on a mileage basis. Now, if you think everyone's going to go to mass transit, it doesn't work because it doesn't get everyone to their destination, especially if you've got little children, you have someone that's disabled, you've got to haul things with you. It does not work on a bus. And with the same problem in New York City, with the same problem in my little borough of Clarence, New York, I've spent much time talking to the town councilman, explaining to them that all you're doing is restricting the lanes. In our case, we went from a four-lane to a two-lane, and a center turn lane, and the outside lanes became bicycle lanes. And everybody's upset about it. In the city of Costa Mesa, they've actually reversed it because of the fact that it was so frustrating to people, and no one uses the bike lanes. And in this case, even where I live, no one's using the bike lanes but one person. Go out there and do a study yourself. You're not going to force people to use bicycles, especially in cold climates like Colorado or New York.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned road diet, and I heard that term when I was on city council. And once again, I thought about it, and I'm like, it's not road diet. It's road starvation is what it is for everyday hardworking people. And I come over to the station typically quite early. It has been cold in Colorado. What about that global warming? But, you know, at 4:35, 5:15 in the morning, I would not want to be standing out on a waiting for a train or waiting for a bus. A, it's cold. B, I have to be waiting. And C, just there's a safety factor. I feel much safer in my own personal vehicle than I would be standing out waiting for a bus or a train. Steve, or excuse me, Tim, could you address that?
Well, no, it's really, it's consumer choice, right? And both in the how they want to travel and what works best for them to get where they're going, but also the type of vehicle that they want or need and in doing so. And governments are trying to be restrictive on both. And they're doing the type of vehicle, they're restricting, some states are opting for the California emission standards, which are designed to move people out of the vehicle that they want or need into something that they can't make work. And ultimately, if they'd move them completely out of a car, it'd be fine with some of the policymakers. But they're wanting to, as Lauren said, and it's a good way to put it, they want to put them on a car diet. And if it's get them completely weaned off of the car, that's even better for the policy gurus.
But Lauren, what I see is that there is a lot of really hypocritical actions there, because I had heard through the grapevine that there was a meeting of politicians and pundits and bureaucrats talking about trying to get people to move more into trains, primarily trains. And so somebody at the table said, now, who have you used the train to get here? Not one person. And the quote that I heard was, one of the policymakers said, well, that's not for us. That's for everybody else. I mean, said that, if you can believe it.
The elitist attitude that will bite these people. That really infuriates me, this elitist attitude. I have a private car service because I'm a government elected official, such as Mayor de Blasio in New York City. He says we're reducing the lanes for safety. They lower the speed. They slow down everyone. It causes more congestion. We limit the lanes. We put in bus lanes. And when he needs to get someplace, they, of course, have escorts of Suburbans, which use a lot of gas. It's not green whatsoever, flying through the lanes with four other vehicles supporting them and police vehicles, and we all have to stop. So it's okay for him, but not okay for us. These people don't even pay for their cars. We make car payments. We pay for our insurance. We pay for our gas, and we pay to maintain our vehicles. But they don't get that because we're paying their bill.
Well, you got it. We're talking with Lauren Fix. She is the car coach, and also with Tim Jackson. He is the executive director over at the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChix. We're going to go to break. When we come back, this is really, I think, a freedom and force question. So let's bite that off. We'll be right back. Hey, Jason McBride. There are two kinds of losses, a loss of capital and a loss of opportunity. But there will always be another opportunity if you protect capital. Who said that?
Well, that's one of the most astute quotes that I've ever heard made, so it's no surprise that that came from a chick.
Bada boom.
That's right. So that came from Louise Yamada, who was a technical research advisor, spent 25 years at Smith Barney. And I think that this one makes a lot of sense. Now, while you're investing, it's unlikely that you're never going to see a dip in your values or some swings up and down. Nothing's perfect. However, taking big losses is very difficult. Mathematically, most people have heard this. If you take a 50% loss, you have to get 100% gain just to get back to even. And how often do you double your money on an investment?
Okay.
It's really tough. So, again, I think it's important when you're investing, and this is whether you're older or younger, to have a good balance in the way you've structured all your investments to work together, but to have part of your investments to be safe investments that have less chance of taking a big hit in terrible market conditions.
Well, Jason, that seems to make a lot of sense. So if you would like to have someone take a look at your nest egg, be sure and reach out to the men and women over at Presidential Wealth Management. We have our own landing page, chickspresidential.com. That's chickspresidential.com. The phone number is 303-694-1600. And be sure and let them know that you know the AmeriChix.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. Karen Levine believes in home ownership. As a Colorado representative to the National Board of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Since losing her mother to breast cancer, Karen Levine has helped organize a local fundraising event called Karen's for the Cure, raising money for breast cancer research. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516.
Social media is important to the AmeriChicks since it's an avenue we can utilize to hear from and speak to all of our friends. For those of you who enjoy listening to the show, we'd love to hear what's on your radar. Follow us and talk to us at AmeriChicks Twitter and Facebook pages. Also, if you're a business owner who could benefit from some extra foot traffic from like-minded friends, consider advertising on the AmeriChicks radio show. Contact us at AmeriChicks.com or email Kim at AmeriChicks.com.
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where I dissect the issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I'll keep you apprised of all the upcoming guests, topics, and important events. And I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. We need to have conversations, and I am so excited to have a conversation about the freedom to drive. In studio with me is the Executive Director of the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association, Tim Jackson, and on the line is the car coach, Lauren Fix. And I believe freedom of mobility is inherently important so that everyday people can thrive and prosper. So, Tim, you're starting something or involved with something called Freedom to Drive. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure. Well, I firmly believe that if there's going to be extensive focus on a problem, you have to bring people together and communicate the issue, formulate strategy, and activate a plan. And that's the idea on Freedom to Drive. It's a broadly based, very new right now, but broadly based coalition that includes agricultural groups, car owner enthusiasts, the automotive industry, and consumers who rely on cars, as well as trucking companies in rural-based organizations, because the rural areas need cars and longer-range driving even more so than metro area, right? So they're the ones that are handicapped if state governments say somebody has to be in a certain type vehicle. They're the ones that are handicapped by paying a higher price for the vehicles they want or need, or going into something that doesn't work for them. That's basically the Hobson's choice, which is no choice at all.
Well, and Lauren, you obviously have a real heart for automobiles and for people to have the freedom to go where they want to, when they want to. How would you address this whole freedom force? We're kind of dancing around it, but it really is, I think, the question on whether or not everyday hardworking people have the freedom to choose the vehicle that they want to drive that works best for them and their families, or if we're going to be using government force, elites that are going to be trying to push people into vehicles they don't want, or maybe even push people totally out of their vehicles. What are you seeing? What would your comments be on that?
Well, I know there's a war on cars with the federal government. If they had their choice, they'd all be autonomous and electric, and they'd be able to control every road and bridge and wherever you go. And I'm not about to limit myself, and I think as Americans, we don't like to limit ourselves. That's why choices are important. And we've always had those choices. You can drive a motorcycle. You can ride a bicycle. You can take mass transit. You don't even have to own a vehicle if you don't want to. But telling us what we have to buy by forcing us to purchase electric cars by either making combustion engines or diesel vehicles more expensive or harder to access by using government regulations is the problem. And they're doing that by limiting the roadways, offering government incentives up to $7,500 for some brands to get discounts. You should not have to incentivize something people want. You don't see them incentivizing the purchase of combustion engines, of SUVs, of sports cars. You could incentivize me to buy a Porsche. Sure, I'll absolutely buy it. But the fact is those incentives are not there. They're there from dealers. They're there from manufacturers, but they're not there from the federal government. And if they had their choice, they like the electric vehicles. There are a lot of problems with some of the options. With electric vehicles, we have a problem with infrastructure. There's no supercharging stations enough for anyone. I just test drove an all-electric vehicle in California, the number one state for electric vehicles, of which Colorado is now accepting all of their regulations, which is going to cost consumers a lot of money, whether you buy into it or not. And there are charging stations, but they're always full. And when you go to six different charging stations, which I did, and waited at each one for a period of time and there was no opening, this is going to create a supply and demand issue. That doesn't mean you're going to produce tons more charging stations, because companies can't afford to just put in charging stations, especially if they're manufacturing and they're using 440 in order to produce product. They're not going to let their employees plug in, because then they're not producing product. So we have to start looking at some reality here, that the only true answer is a mixture of letting you drive what you want, that freedom to say, I want a gas, and I want to go to the gas station to fill up, or I want diesel, which I personally like, because you get longer distances between fill up and better fuel economy. Maybe you want hydrogen, which they offer in California, that powers a fuel cell vehicle, a battery cell vehicle. So, I mean, there are lots of options available, and there are some we haven't even seen, like compressed natural gas, which is being used by a lot of different utilities, which is a good answer as well. But limiting and forcing people to do things by restricting lanes, restricting your driving choices, and incentivizing choices that not all of us want, but we all pay into that, is a problem, because even the poorest of us are paying into this $7,500 tax credit with our tax dollars, and that money could be used to repair roads instead of reducing them, repair them, and get rid of those darn potholes. And I believe me, I've been all over the country. I was just in California this week, and I will tell you, there's potholes the size to absorb a Mini Cooper. So these need to be repaired, and that's where the focus really needs to be. And if bicycles want to use the road, pay taxes toward repairing them.
Your points are well taken on all of those, Lauren, and I'll do an attaboy with you. And just to localize it here, the $7,500 federal tax credit on a lot of these EVs, really on all of them, except it's going away based on automaker after a certain volume. But in Colorado, mm-hmm. there's another. We've got the most generous incentive for EVs and alternative vehicles in the country at $5,000 a copy. So somebody buying a copy, and that's the industry term for each unit, each vehicle. So that's $12,500 between federal and state incentive on some of these, and yet mm-hmm. even, and that's been in place, by the way, the federal incentive, as you know, has been in place since 2011. The state incentive here in Colorado has been in place since before 2011. And mm-hmm. yet the battery electrics only really started hitting, making availability in 2011. And so during the time period between 2011 and now, Lauren, the BEV and the PHEV, that's plug-in hybrid electric, have grown from 0%, let's call it zero in 2011, to 3% at the end of 2017, and even first quarter 2018. And mm-hmm. During that, and with $12,500 on the hood of each of those cars is an incentive. Yet the pickups, vans, and SUVs, or the light-duty truck category, has grown during that same time period in Colorado from 58% of the market to 75% of the market. So it's grown by 17%. And being, you could say, definitely not incentivized, but you could say disincentivized, because the incentive's on somebody else's car, not yours. And yet consumers are still making those choices, and they're buying into the light-duty trucks versus the battery electric vehicles.
Well, and Lauren, right. I find this a subject of fairness. How is it fair that somebody would have a tax liability of $12,500, probably more, but that they get to reduce mm-hmm. their tax liability by $12,500 because they buy a specific vehicle? Everybody else still has to pay their taxes, but they're getting this break.
Right.
And I think that that's inherently unfair. And the other thing, I went down and testified at the hearing regarding Senator John Cook here in Colorado had put forth some legislation that would say that we would not adhere to the Colorado or the California standards, but in fact that Colorado would follow the federal standards. And that particular bill lost, and it was a straight party line vote. The Democrats killed it. And what I think is, you know, so important is to understand that this is inherently unfair that these people get to have a break on their taxes. And anyway, what had happened is some of the other folks that were testifying in favor of killing this particular piece of legislation talked about how much money they were saving with their electric vehicle. And I wanted to say, well, of course, because you're not having to pay your taxes. You know, everybody else is subsidizing your vehicle, and you're not having to pay for road taxes. And I thought, well, of course, you know, and it just doesn't seem fair. What do you think?
I agree. I think the big thing is with these electric cars that don't use any gasoline at all, they're not paying into the road tax at all. Zero. And so when you're looking at this, but they want to use the roads, anything in this planet that you want to use, you definitely have to pay a piece of the pie. And so again,
that's only fair.
The roads for free. Yeah, right. And hybrid plug-in battery cars are using the roads for free. This is a big problem. And so I think we all need to stand up and say something, and you can't let this just happen to you. Because once this gets into legislation and it happens, it's very difficult to undo it. And so that's why you need to stand up and tell your, if you want to be reelected, you want my vote, I'm going to ask that you somehow start charging all the bicycles by the mile. I don't care how you figure it out. You can give them a flat fee per year and make sure it's high enough to support the road work. And same thing should be true with anything that's a plug-in vehicle that doesn't use gasoline. You're going to charge it by the mile. They're doing it in Oregon. They're doing it in the state of Washington. They should be doing it in the state of Colorado as well. Unless, of course, then they might change your mind about buying a plug-in vehicle. Maybe you'll think, well, now you're going to charge me. Well, I want an HOV sticker, too. That's what they're doing in California.
Okay, Tim.
Speaking of California, and I want to—that's a good segue to take it back to California, because they don't have as rich an incentive as Colorado on the EVs, but they do offer the EV drivers the HOV lanes for free, free parking downtown, free charging at your parking station. So they're really, the economics completely get totally skewed when you put so many governmental incentives moving people to these cars, and then those cars, as Lauren has accurately and effectively stated, are not paying their own way for the roads. So we've got to, as you know, here in Colorado, Kim, CDOT is underfunded based on the road projects that they need to do and that we need them to do by $9 billion. And yet CDOT is now putting in the charging stations along the road for the VW settlement, and to try to move people to newer, cleaner, green electric vehicles. Well, God bless them, but how are you going to pay for the roads, CDOT? And that's Colorado Department of Transportation in acronym here in Colorado. So locally known as CDOT, but it's Colorado Department of Transportation. So Lauren's got an excellent point on this. In California, these economics are totally skewed when it comes to vehicle choice, and it's not sustainable. For all the talk about sustainability, it's not sustainable to incentivize people to buy a certain type of car that won't pay for the roads that they will go out and drive them on. Am I right? Do I hear an amen, Lauren?
Okay, well, we're going to go.
Amen. Yes, you got an amen.
Okay. Hey, this is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks. We are talking with Tim Jackson with the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association and Lauren Fix, the car coach. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Dan Predovich and his team at Predovich & Company help your business plan ahead financially. The AmeriChicks with Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company as your financial business consultant. Predovich & Company will take care of your tax preparation, bookkeeping, and business advisory services. Dan Predovich and his team want to learn about the unique needs of your business through real, honest dialogue. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call 303-791-3000 to start preparing now for tax season. Organize your business finances with Predovich & Company. Call 303-791-3000 today.
We
Welcome back to the AmeriChicks with Kim Munson, where I dissect the issues, news, politics, and opinion as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Agree or disagree, let's have a conversation. Be sure and check out my website, AmeriChicks.com. Sign up for my emails. I will keep you apprised of all the guests and topics and important events coming up. I am the AmeriChicks on Facebook and Twitter as well, offering you a conservatarian perspective. Thrilled to have on the line with us Lauren Fix. She is the car coach. You see her on TV. She writes for a lot of different publications. So it's great to have you here, Lauren. And also in studio with me is Tim Jackson. He is the top guy over at the Colorado Automobile Dealers Association. This is our last segment. And Lauren, I've got a question for you. You said you were out in California and you were driving an electric vehicle and you needed to charge it. How long did it take you to charge that vehicle?
Well, that was the problem. I went around looking for a charge point station because the vehicle I had a charge point card because we were reviewing the car. And I found the first station. It wasn't too far. There were six charging banks, and there was someone in every spot. So I waited. No one came out. I cleaned out my email. I thought, well, I'll find another one. Obviously, somebody's doing something, and they're not coming out. Found another one. Did the same thing. And you play a game of Candy Crush and make a couple phone calls. Still no one's there. And I'm watching the battery reduce in life, thinking, all right, I wasn't in a desperate mode, but I will be if I keep doing this. And I went to six different stations, and there was not one open spot. And so when I finally got to the hotel, I told the doorman, I said, I don't know, we were there for a different drive event. And I said, do you have a charging station here at this hotel? And it was a really nice high-end hotel. And he said, no, we do not. I said, is there one nearby? He said, you'd have to get online and look. Like, they don't even want to get involved because it costs them too much money to put in a charging station. So eventually I was able to make it back to the airport, but that told me I don't want that range anxiety. I don't want that anxiety at all. And the problem still relies in Palo Alto. I have a very good friend who does analysis for the industry, for the electric car industry, and he said at one point in Palo Alto, they said you can park in this parking garage for free, and it would be stuffed with electric cars all the time. People would park their car there, walk home, or take an Uber, whatever it was, and they'd get home, or they'd go to work and leave the car there. As soon as the city of Palo Alto realized the total expense of offering free charging stations, they stopped offering it for free. And now he said you'd go by every morning. It was really funny. He would take a picture with his phone of a totally empty parking garage and text it to me every morning going, yep, no one's using it because if it isn't free, no one wants it. Because if you look at the numbers, the average person that owns either a Tesla or a high-end plug-in electric car, which is pretty much, they're not cheap, let's just face it, compared to the gasoline versions, they're more expensive. People that own them, typically about 80% or more, are people that make over $250,000 a year.
Wow.
And so that was not the idea of the incentive. It was meant for the average guy to buy a new car. But if you own a 12-year-old car, there's a reason you own a 12-year-old car, because you can't afford a new car, or you go buy a new car.
Right.
Whether it's an incentive or not.
Tim, what do you think?
The insurance costs more, the maintenance costs more, and everything has maintenance. I don't care what anybody says. Even electric vehicles have maintenance. You still have tires and moving parts.
Well, and on the point of maintenance, because I've had this discussion with a lot of, let's say, EV enthusiasts, and they say, you know, well, the reason you don't like electric cars is because you won't be able to service them. No, that's not it at all. They still do need service. Yeah. And if you don't believe they need service, check any Tesla service center on how long it will take to get a Tesla in there. And it's usually six to 8 weeks. And the people are furious.
Yeah,
they can't get their cars fixed.
Oh.
And that's why their Consumer Reports rating has dropped. And you're probably aware of that, Lauren.
Well, and I was just going to say that you're on the same page. That was exactly it. Dropped from top until they got feedback from consumers and owners, whether it be a Model S, a Model X, or a Model 3. And they were all complaining about service, parts, and customer service. Overall, they couldn't get any support, and then the fit and finish and the build quality. And if you bought, I don't know, a Ford, for example, or any brand, a Toyota, whatever it might be, and you had those fit, finish, and service problems, oh, don't worry, it would be all over the news.
Right.
He's not considered a dealership. There's no protection for the consumer when you buy something outside a dealership network.
Right.
And I want to go back and just clarify something, because we were talking about this, and you were accused, Tim, of not liking electric vehicles by this enthusiast. And in our conversations, you're actually more agnostic, I would say, that regarding vehicles. I think that you really want people to be able to drive the vehicle that they want.
Right. And just to make people aware of vehicles, we've done a green car parade at the Colorado Capitol for 12 years. We do it on the Sunday before the auto show. It's really an earned media event ahead of the auto show. We've taken a green car convoy and a Colorado car convoy all over the state, where we let new car enthusiasts and dealers and the industry and the public come together in the media in 12 different events ahead of the Denver Auto Show. And again, it's a wake-up call that the auto show is about to open, so you can get down and see all the cars. But here's a snapshot of what you can see. So we're not anti-EV at all, but there has to be some kind of a level playing field on what consumers want and need. And you can't push consumers. There needs to be more consumer pull instead of industry and especially governmental push into these type of cars, because eventually, I think, and love to hear from Lauren on this, I think the technology will improve, the charging station and networks will grow, and the ranges will get longer and extend, and they may be a solution for consumers in 10, 15, 20 years, maybe even in 8 or 10 years, but they're not today for everybody. And right now, it's really not the job of government to be the car selector for consumers. That's the job of somebody like Lauren Fix, you know, the car coach.
She gives you the info.
Yeah. And one other thing before the time runs out that we haven't covered here on this freedom, the whole freedom to drive issue, and that is local governments taking parking spots away, either taking parking spots away or allowing new construction. And mm-hmm. I'm going to localize this again, Lauren, just so you can tell what's happening mm-hmm. on the local scene out here. In December 20, 2005, a new Hyatt Regency opened across from the Colorado Convention Center, largest hotel in Colorado, 1,100 guest rooms, 1,000 parking spots. 4 years ago, by contrast, about 11 years later, 4 years ago, a new Hyatt Place and Hyatt House, two brands under one roof, 400 guest rooms, and only 137 parking spots, so about one parking spot for every three rooms. Well, it gets worse. Mm-hmm. Last year, the City of Denver allowed a brand new hotel. It's the AC and Le Meridian Hotel, right across from the Convention Center and across from the Hyatt Regency that has all these parking spots. Built and opened a brand new hotel, two hotels under one brand, Le Meridian and AC Hotel, 500 guest rooms. And Lauren, you have to be sitting down for this. Zero parking spots. Zero parking spots.
Oh, wow.
They still have a valet lane. So you go through the valet lane on 15th if you're going to AC, or on California if you're going to the Le Meridian. But they literally drive your car. They charge you whatever, the $59 or $69, probably $69 for valet. They drive it across the street and put it in the self-parking in the Hyatt and pocket the difference. Well, nothing against capitalism, but it's compressing the parking in downtown Denver. Denver's also allowing construction of multifamily housing, where they've built a new place called The Economist at 16th and Humboldt. You're not expected to know that address, Lauren, but it's about
I actually know that area, because I know I've been to Denver many, many times.
Yeah, I used to live about a block from there, and I can tell you, 10 to 15 years ago, the parking was pretty tight down there, but it's even more tight now because they built 240 units, micro units of 350 square feet. Think of a hotel room size apartment, but zero parking spots. Zero. Not even for the manager is there a parking spot. There's not even one for the moving truck to move in. But part of the problem is, and Kim Munson saw this at the Capitol last week when Senate Bill 053 was heard, and that is that these activists wanting people to move to these clean green driving machines, and nothing wrong with an EV if it works for you, but they come down and testify against the bill that would have prohibited the California emission standard. Then a smart state senator from Alamosa, Colorado said, well, can you tell us, if you're advocating for these EVs, you're probably driving an EV. Three people at the stand mm-hmm. in a row. No, I don't mm-hmm. have an EV myself. In fact, I don't even have a car. The next one, no, I don't have an EV myself. I don't even have a car. And the third one says, well, I want to buy an EV, and I'm waiting on the plug-in hybrid Subaru Crosstrek. But no, I don't have an EV or a plug-in hybrid now. Yeah. So they're really hypocritical. They want other people. It's like the drivers that want to build light rail, not so they'll ride the light rail, but so somebody else will. So they'll open up the lanes for them. Hypocritical.
So, hey, Lauren Fix.
Well, this is true in the industry. as a whole anyhow, and it's a big problem. And just so you know, and I just want to qualify, I know you're tight on time. Important to note, the cost of batteries is only going higher because of the rare earth minerals that are in them and the fact that they're not recyclable. So they're actually not a greener choice because less than 84% of that vehicle is recyclable. We're looking at new combustion engine vehicles and it's 99% recyclable. So why these green people only state the facts that they want, they miss a lot of the other facts that actually put a huge hole in their story.
Wow. Okay. Well, Lauren Fix, again, how can people find you?
You can reach me at my website, which is carcoachreports.com, or follow me on all forms of social media at Lauren Fix.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much. And Tim Jackson, final thoughts.
You know, it's an honor to be on here with you, Lauren. When you get to Denver the next time, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or drinks are on me. And Kim's invited too, and Steve from the show here, and David, and whoever wants to come. Because we'd like to extend this conversation. And just be on record, let us be on record, Lauren, that I've watched your videos, and I think you're preaching the gospel that we're seeing and believing here in Colorado as well. And I think this freedom to drive, we've kept Colorado out of the name, because this could grow to a national movement, and we wanted you to know, be aware of it and know about it.
Okay, so thank you.
I'd love to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tim Jackson. Thank you so much, Lauren Fix. And freedom of mobility lets everyday people go after their hopes and dreams. Henry Ford said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is, which is probably the reason why so few people engage in it." So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson with the AmeriChicks signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.